for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture exposition podcast for 40 years of playing PlayStation and 12 plus years. That Games Meeting Blind, I want to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/popculturist. We watch us record this show live, we can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can, but telling your friends, telling your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening on those podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. Now, I'm going to let everyone know in advance, those that are listening on the audios or the videos, you might be hearing my aircon. It's like a bajillion degrees in this fucking house, so I had to put it on. And I apologize if the audio is a bit poo because of it. It's just too damn hot. Out of nowhere, too. Like, the morning was nice, and then it kind of, like, peaked, and then it just got fucking hot, and it just kept getting hotter. And I got some... You know how we've discussed how easy I get sunburnt, Max? So I sat in the sun for, I don't know, like 2 hours yesterday having a conversation, and I got sunburned. And it hurts.
You know the rule? 11 and 3 under a tree.
The rule is you go outside, Ryan, you're getting sunburned because you be white. You be Caucasian. And your meds ain't helping you, you dickhead, is what they say.
There's that too.
Yeah, all those things are helpful. But did you spend some time outside in the lovely weather this weekend?
I didn't. I stayed inside all day. Oh. I my wife went out and did gardening out the front. I'm like, I'll clean the house.
Didn't do that.
I did. That wasn't too bad. But no, I didn't go outside this weekend. I sat inside, did my own thing.
Very nice. Super quite similar myself. So, obviously, Friday, because we'll be in the long weekend, I spent Friday hanging out with my son. That was lovely. Yesterday...
It was a long weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, yesterday being Saturday, at time of recording, it was a pretty chill day. Did most of that at home. Went and did a little bit of food shopping, because today it was the Royal Rumble. So, as I normally do every year, or when there's a pay-per-view on a Sunday, we have a little shindig at my place. Max was invited and once again went, oh, I'm fucking coming to that. I'm like, you know what? Thanks, man.
Totally forgot about it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was pretty fun. It was a decent show. It wasn't too bad. Mostly a pretty chill weekend, which is exactly what I wanted. It's just like I've needed to sort of like just... just declutter the head. Working on some stuff for the show, just a little document.
Some defrag the brain.
Yeah, it was good. And it was nice to sort of just chill and play some games. But let's, you know what, fuck it. It seems like both our weeks been pretty uneventful. So let's get straight into what we have been playing. So, big thank to the team over at Bandai Namco Australia. Max and I have been provided the latest from them in that it is the Tekken 8. I lost my train of thought halfway through explaining that. But yeah, Tekken 8 is what we've been playing. So this came out, what, Friday?
Friday.
Yeah. So we've been hanging out with that over the weekend. It was really nice. So shout out to the team, especially on the long weekend. I'm going to probably have a thousand just things to say. So I'll let you go, Max. I'll let you go first. Knowing as I'm the one that talks the most.
No, go for it. I'm gonna piggyback off you.
Okay.
Because I think I've played slightly more than you.
Yeah, I think so. So, we've long talked about our love for fighting games in various ways, but not that we've always been really hardcore about it. So Max has set up a little goal this year that this is the year that Max plays every fighting game every major fighting game that comes out that tackles his interest. So he's got after Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat last year, which you haven't played Mortal Kombat yet.
I haven't played Mortal Kombat yet.
Yeah, so Tekken, and there's a couple of weeby-ass ones that he wants to check out because this is the year that he understands fighting games. For me, I was like, look, Mortal Kombat's okay. It's not the one I grew up on. Street Fighter, I understand the appeal of Street Fighter. And Street Fighter 6 was really good, but for me, what I need is Tekken, and what I needed was Tekken 8. So we did first go hands-on with this back at PAX. Oh, we played it in its beta form, I think it was. Yeah, and then we also played it at PAX. We were chatting with the rep, who is an incredible human. I was joking, like, look, if Eddie Gordon's not in this shit, then I ain't playing it. Like, fuck this game. And he goes, fine, that's easy, you're not getting a code. And then they announced that Eddie's coming as the first DLC, and I was like, hey, man, remember all those things that I said? I take it all back. And thankfully, they were very kind, and they took back their statement, which allowed us to play it this weekend. And so I dipped a little bit into the main story, and then actually by first doing so, I went into them in this little section where it's like, hey, do you want us to tell you like all the story beats of the last 7 games? I was like, sure. And then they got to Tekken 3, which is the one I played the most. And I'm like, I don't remember any of this. I can remember that character they're talking about, the South American god or whatever. I'm like, oh yeah, Ogre, he was kind of a cool character. But
so I was watching that. I'm like, I don't remember fighting Cell.
Yeah, it was a whole thing. I was like, okay, cool. And then, yeah, filled in all the gap. You're like, wow, there's a way more depth to the lore of Tekken than I remember. But it was very, very great. And I enjoyed it. Jumped to the story mode. I'm about up to chapter like 6 or something at the moment. I don't know how many chapters there are, but I've just done
15.
All right, cool. Because I just did essentially the King of Fighter tournament, the King of Iron Fist tournament, which was fun. It's because it's running on Unreal 5. It looks amazing. It plays amazing. It's smooth as shit. It's super goddamn pretty. But the thing that was the most endearing for me is that when you and I were playing it last night, Max, we were like, hey, you hit me up, let's try the online multi, let's see how it goes, how it holds up. Like, sure, no worries. So we jump in, and we're just absolutely fuck-assing around. We're just punching people. We're like literally going, okay, your turn to finish. Like, and the short answer was, it just made me happy. It was just throwing back to like what I used to do back in the day on like my PS1 with Tekken 3, where it's like, all right, let's just run this a bunch of times and see what happens. Let's see all the finishes. Those two memories for me are, yeah, Tekken 3 and Soul Blade, which was later become Soul Calibur. That I remember destroying those games like 1,000 times just to like get better and play with a different character and see what their finisher is and try to unlock their combos. And aside from all the things that make this game incredible, now we can't get into, or at least I can't get into, all the nitty and gritty of what makes a fighting game good and bad, because it's not normally what I play. So everything here is just going on organic gut feel, knowing that I played Street Fighter 6 and I enjoyed it, but it was just missing something. Played Multiverses? Yeah, Multiverses, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl, these other couple fighter games that have came out. We were like, okay, at least for me, I was like, I understand the principles, but it's just not for me. Where there is something about the characters, the character designs, the way it plays in like that 3D, 2D, but 3D space, how it looks and how you punch and lightning comes out and some guy's a devil occasionally. There's just something about how Tekken do it that makes my brain happy, which is bizarre because it's very weeby, which should make me angry. But it doesn't. It makes me happy. It's weird. Max?
So I haven't played any of the campaign story mode. I have done what they call character stories. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like your old school You pick a character, you do set fights, and then you get a cutscene at the end of
how those story rolls. If I'm thinking Tekken 3, they had like the arcade mode where you would just run it through as each character.
Well, in this, the arcade mode is quite different, and I'll get to that because I played a little bit of the arcade mode. So I did some character stories. I beat three of the character stories. So I did Yoshimitsu, who for the longest time has been my main, but he's being replaced because his moveset's changed a little bit too much and everything's weird and new and I don't like it.
Yeah.
Although I played around a bit more last night and I'm at one point I managed to stand on my two swords and I was running at people
on my sword.
Like, nailed it. Okay. I did Steve's, who is a boxer, so he has no kicking moves whatsoever. It's
ducks and weaves.
He just ducks and weaves and punches you right in the ball bags. That's great. And I think the last one was introducing Tekken 6, Claudio, however you pronounce it. He seems to be some European voodoo man. And his story was pretty cool. So I've been playing through that. And I did try out the arcade mode, which is literally this little anime style. All your characters are like... They're basically Miis.
The little chibis.
Like the little chibi guys. And you literally go around from arcade to arcade, beating other people with your character of choice until you get to the world championship where you are trying to beat this one sullen weeby person who's like, Tekken, I refuse to verse anyone unless it's a real fight because I don't want to waste my time. I want to be the best in the world. And I'm like, okay, and I'm in it. So, like, the character you always talk to is Max. So that was endearing. I'm like, ooh, look, I'm in the game. Love it. the fighting's great. You know, you mentioned that we played online. When you play online, it tells you what your ping is.
And how many frames are out?
How many frames you're getting, what the rollback frames are, depending on, you know, the packet loss between the two players. Not that we had any. I think at one point the highest we got to was two frames rollback.
Yeah.
It was great. It was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, like from an online experience, it was seamless. It was smooth.
Because there is nothing worse than lag in a fighting game when you're playing online.
So, but in terms of myself, I forgot to mention sort of the main characters that I've been playing. You and I played it last night, and I also played some story. Played a bit of the story this morning. And this afternoon, after we watched the Royal Rumble, I was like, hey, do you want to let's boost each other in Tekken 8? So we pulled that out. We did some Tekken Ball, which was awesome. But that was myself, my mate Dylan, and my mate Craig. So we were like, all right, let's just give it a bill, and let's just deck each other. That is where, like, Tekken is its most fun. Is like, I don't know the controls. I'm like, I don't know the controls either. Let's work it out. So I spend some time. The ones that I enjoy the most are the ones that seem to be a bit faster.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense because obviously I quite liked Eddie. He was pretty fast. The ones that I kick out of was the guy with the knives. What's his name? It's Vincent, but it's not Vincent. What's his name? He had the big, what we thought was an assault rifle. With his big katana on his hip. And that was pretty cool.
Yeah, his name didn't come to me.
Yeah, that's right. Him, Paul. Victor. I said Vincent. Oh, that was close. So Victor I quite enjoy. Paul I quite like as well because he's a bit faster, but he's like quite hard-hitting as well. Where, Victor was kind of fast, but like low damage. And the mullet show, which is Craig, is the bear for the win. We had a Kuma versus Panda match, and it was awesome. We put it in the nice garden area. It was lovely. Who's the other one that I get a kick out of? Brian is a ton of fun because he's kind of got chaotic energy. So it means he moves like quite fast, and which is awesome. But yeah, they're the ones that I stick to the most. And the woman that is the MMA, she's from Peru.
Azukina,
whatever. I mean, she's dope fun. She's good fun too. And that's what I'm finding is like, yeah, those ones, smoother ones. And I do love King, as I mentioned before. Now, you know, it's interesting now that I'm like having not played many like fighting games, especially Tekken, since I've enjoyed my love for wrestling. It was good to go back as King because I'm seeing all the moves. I was actually able to understand the combos a bit better and with the context of wrestling. It's like, okay, cool. Well, he grabs him and you can throw him up. You can catch him like a power bomb and bring him down for a little backbreaker. Okay, cool. And then you want to juggle him. It just, yeah, give it that little bit of wrestling context. I'm like, ah, yes, I can understand things now. But yeah, we, as I mentioned, we did play the Tekken Ball, which Craig had no comprehension of how it worked. Even though it was simple, you kick a beach ball, it'll hit you. But if you kick it, you hit it before it hits you, it goes back. It's just keepy uppy for the beach ball that can hurt you. It's good fun.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. It's nice to go because I think the last Tekken I played was like Tekken 4.
Yeah, ours
Tekken
was 7, so we were kindly provided a review code for 7, and we had a ton of fun with that.
So it's been a hot minute, but this has so far been great. I look forward to playing the actual story mode itself. But for now, I am happy chipping away at the individual characters' stuff to have a look at what they're doing, because it kind of shows what they're doing during the King of Iron Fist tournament.
Mm.
So, like, as Steve, who is a boxer, he's like, because obviously the big gimmick for all of these games has been like, if you win, you get to take over the Mishima Corporation,
yeah,
and you get all their money, and then you can do what you want. So Steve's like, I'm going to spend all that money and I'm going to become the fucking heavyweight champion of the world in boxing. I'm just going to win all the belts. So I'm currently 6-belt Steve.
Nice.
He has one of the funniest ending cutscenes I've ever seen in a fighting game.
Yeah.
So Steve is kind of like, essentially he's a lightweight boxer. He's this tiny little skinny dude. And apparently in context of the lore, he's best mates with what's his name? He's best mates with Paul Phoenix.
Yep.
And Martial Law. Mm-hmm. So they rock up at the end, be like, I wonder how Steve's doing. And Steve, for some reason, has just jacked himself to become the heavyweight champion.
Mm-hmm.
So he's gone from super thin to super swole all of a sudden. And it's so funny. It's nice to have that lighthearted silliness.
Bit of levity, yeah.
Yeah, in what is such a bizarre story for a fighting game.
Well, it is very much a weird, weird story. Because, it is painfully anime. You know, it's like the son, I think, fighting a one fight dad. Like, Heihachi's missing, presumed dead. Kazuya, who's the one who does this cool little, the big spin kicky thing that I remembered from 3. I was like, who's the guy that did it? That was him.
Yeah, he survived being thrown into a volcano back somehow. In like Tekken 2. it's bizarre. Excuse me.
It's absolutely insane. But the game is great. As I named the episode, Tekken 8, more like Tekken Great. Because it is. It's absolutely fantastic. And we do really appreciate it. It is nice to know the two big games we spent the most time with this year have been fantastic, with this and Prince of Persia, which my son has been playing a lot of this week. He's up to the double jump. He's killing it.
So my kid was watching YouTube this morning and an ad came on for Prince of Persia. And she's like, oh, Mummy, that's Daddy's favorite game. This kid was watching me play it at one point. I'm like, that's funny.
Yeah, James is seeing the ads as well, and he's really getting a kick out of it. Like, because he's playing on easy. But to his credit, he is persisting. Like, some of those little challenge rooms are brutal. But he's giving him a burl, and he's persisting, and he's trying. And then I get a phone call being like, Daddy, I got the dash. I'm like, hell yeah. He's like, Daddy, I got the time thing. I'm like, hell yeah. Daddy, I got the double jump. Hell yeah. It's exciting time. Very proud. For a game that I was struggling with.
Yeah.
Also playing on a harder difficulty, and I'm not 7. But let us know if you've been spending some time with Tekken 8. Sorry, I am exhausted, by the way.
Yeah, if you have Tekken 8, hit me up.
Yeah, so one of the things that Max was considering, he was like, hey, we should do like a cross podcast Tekkenate tournament. And I'm down for it. The King of Iron Pod tournament.
I'm throwing down my Iron Fisted gauntlet.
So should we do it like the King of Iron Fist and just sort of, how many people is that? Like what, 2, 4, 6, 8?
I mean, it has a tournament style game mode in the thing. We could literally all join one lobby, tournament it up and be like, winner takes it all.
Yeah, that'd be cool. We all, you know, for those of us that stream, each of us can kind of stream our own part. What would be on the line? Because obviously we don't have we're not going to put Popsy on the line. No one's going to become the new owner for the players, because they if anything like G Corporation, if they believe you're going to make money. Not here, mate. Not here.
I don't know. Maybe some shenanigans at PAX this year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good PAX shenanigans. I like that. Hmm. Well, anyone that is out there that does have a show and then is listening, please let us know. We'll more than happy make something dumb out of it. Could be fun.
What else have you been playing apart from Tekken? Because there's only one other thing I've been playing. And yeah. I'm
kinda... So, look, I haven't booted up yet, but we will address it. So, big thank you to the team over at Five Star. They provided us a review code of Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, which we were both curious. But then we got a lovely email on Thursday night being like, yo, you want to check this out for a long weekend? I was like, why the fuck not? But other than that, I have been playing the usual WWE 2K23. Did a bit of that this week with our GM mode, with the excitement of 24 right around the corner, which I do hope that there is some hands-on over at Elimination Chamber weekend. I'm 100%... kiss some hands and shake some babies to get all up in that business. But also spending a little bit more time in Cyberpunk 2077. I've just kind of gone in, did a couple of hours, and it's very easy to just lose time playing Cyberpunk. I don't know what it is. There's just something about it. It didn't really get me at launch, obviously, because it was running like bumhole. But now it runs well, and I'm interested in the city and the story and the characters. And next thing you know, it's a couple hours later, I'm like, oh shit, I probably should be playing Tekken or Yakuza. What about yourself, Max? Have you been playing one other game?
I have been playing the current cultural phenomenon, Pal World.
Oh, fucking, that's right, you gushed about that last week, eh?
So I got it on Steam.
Yeah.
I fucked off Games Pass, got it on Steam. One of our friends...
Apparently the Game Pass version's a couple... updates it behind. Is
and everything's jacked, so the tech tree is completely different on the Games Pass version versus the Steam version.
Interesting.
Which is weird. But yeah, one of our friends paid some money and he's hosting a private dedicated server for us. Mm-hmm. So there's about six of us playing. Since Thursday night, I have yet to go to bed before 4 a.m. because I've been up playing Power World.
That's disgusting.
I am now like mid-level 20, so I think the level cap's 50, mid-level 20. We're on our third base. We're just base building. We're catching the pals, the fake Pokemons. It's just fun. So normally I hate games like this. Normally I hate those survival games that are perpetual that run while you're offline, because I tend to not have the time to pour into them. And for whatever reason, whether it be... the fact that it's kind of fake Pokemon in an open world and it's what we've wanted for the longest of times, that's kind of getting me across that line. Because there's no PvP in it, so it's not like my base is getting raided constantly or I'm losing a lot of progress because I'm getting killed or anything like that. It's kind of just chill. I go out, I kill some boss monsters, I clear some dungeons, I fight some... I do the gym leader towers... It's just kind of fun, and I just lose track of time real quick playing it.
Yeah, because it's lovely when you, because especially with a game like a survival game or an MMO style like that, if you can essentially lose a couple hours in what feels like nothing, like that's good grind. Like, okay, cool, I can work with this.
And like, you know, it has all those tedious, like, you need to go out and gather the ore so you can smelt the ore to make ingots, so you can craft using the ingots to make the next tier of equipment. But although it is a grind, it feels less tedious because you can pull your Pokemon out and they can do it for you. and you've got little dudes running around, and it kind of just makes it that little bit more fun and less tedious.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm kind of digging it.
Can you still stab and capture humans?
Oh yeah, yeah, yep. I sold a bunch on the black market.
Oh no, were they worth money?
It's like $2,500 a pop. They're worth way more than standard panels.
That's expensive people.
Yeah, good.
Damn. Sounds fun.
So yeah, I've been having a blast with that. It's at like 8 million copies sold now.
Yeah, it's doing exceptionally well.
It's I think only PUBG's beating it with like highest ever concurrent players.
Yep.
So yeah,
but I said, if I imagine if it wasn't on Game Pass, it would have that number beat. I feel, because that number is the Steam concurrent.
Well, that's a thing. It's also sold 8 million copies, considering the fact that it is available on.
Yeah, I think the understanding of, excuse me, people that like played it on Game Pass and then were like, oh, this is great, and it's a couple versions behind. Fuck that! Yeah. I want the updated one. I want the latest one.
And I did it.
Mm. Part of the problem, Max. In this case, it's okay.
Yep. I got to get as much game time in before Nintendo come and banhammer them.
Yeah. If I'm not going to lie, I'm like, oh, do I buy it before they get sued? That way I at least have it. That'd be cool. It's kind of like PT. Like, now that you can't get it anymore, I'm like, oh, I still have it on my PS4. Wee. But nice. Yeah, like for me, I do really want to like try finish Tekken. I do want to try finish, or at least get some good runs in with Infinite Wealth, because we do have Suicide Squad coming up next week. Hopefully, I'll shoot an email through to play on, because I'll be keen to check that out. And then also Helldivers 2, and then of course potential game of the year for Max, Foam Stars. Come on,
I cannot wait to get Wet and Weeby next week.
That's what I'm saying, right? Like, you think I'm joking here. I know that you're keen. I know that you're excited to get Weeby up in this bitch.
Pretty sure Nintendo had a look into Foam Stars.
Yeah, yeah.
So clearly.
It's Splatoon anyway, with foam.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting times, and I'm keen to sort of play some games. And yeah. But until then, let's get into the section we call Inform the Players. We'll tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation.
Not much PlayStation specific news this week, but we did get a firmware update, and it's not the standard software performance and stability, although that is in there.
Of course, it is every time.
There are some new party features, so you can now restart parties by selecting the party itself in a recent parties list. Cool. And the other big update was for the Pulse Elite and the Pulse Wireless earbuds. Just, I think it allowed you to use like the in-game mixer and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you can
adjust balances and that stuff. A couple updates ago, like if you have the standard Sony Pulse headphones, yeah, you can actually go in there and equalize it. Because remember when we first got the headset, we picked it up around the launch of the PS3. PS3, Joseph's the PS5. And one of the things that we had... Oh, excuse me. We looked at it, we're like, the bass in this is not very good. But then the equalizer came out shortly after. I tweaked a little bit. I fucking love the headphones now. Previously, I was like, nah, I'm only ever going to use my SteelSeries. My Arctis 7Ps. I constantly forget to use them because I'm like, oh, I'll just use the Pulse because they're easier. Pardon me. But yeah, so that's a cool little feature. Excuse me. And I imagine with the Portal coming out this week, so now I have the hiccups. And especially as these start releasing worldwide, because I don't believe we have the...
I don't think the earbuds.
The Elites we don't have. The Pulses, I believe, are out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you need me to keep going because of the hiccups?
Oh, no, it's me. So my bad. I was like, Max will finish while I have a drink. Turns out, not the case.
All good.
But... the New Horizon, Max. So Horizon Forbidden West, The complete edition is the next first-party PlayStation title to appear on the PC. So it's coming through Steam. This one itself is co-developed by Guerrilla, who made it originally, and Nixus, which is the studio that PlayStation had purchased a number of years ago. One of the things they're both most known for is their PC ports. So big win, big thumbs up, which means you're not going to have the garbage experience you did with The Last of Us Part 1, ideally. This is coming to Steam and Epic Games as well. I thought it was just Steam. And it's coming the 21st of March. Now, I would love to play that on PC. Now, thankfully, in the past, we've been very kindly provided review codes for the PC versions. I never had a good PC back then, so all the codes went to you, Max.
You can have this one. It's fine.
Yeah, well, because you've not finished it on PS5. So, no. if it does happen to come our way, I'll be sure to check it out now that I have a much more prettier, powerful computer. Do you think that, like, because what, that would put it about 12 months? Was it last year? No. Wait, beautiful. No. Last 12 months ago, the DLC came out.
Yeah.
So it'd be, what, 18 months? 24 months? Ooh.
Came out in 2022, February 18th, 2022.
All right, so just shy of 2 years.
Just over 2 years.
Oh, yeah, because it comes at the back end of 21st. Yes, yeah, you're correct. It's a reasonable turnaround. Quite like that.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of reasonable turnarounds, though, nice. Naughty Dog has announced that its making-of documentary, The Last of Us 2, titled Grounded 2, Making The Last of Us Part 2, will debut next week on the 2nd of February 2024.
Exciting.
You will be able to watch this video on YouTube or via The Last of Us 2 Remastered on PlayStation 5 as part of an upcoming update. Said patch will also be bundling even more skins for Ellie and Abby.
Nice. I'm very keen for the doco. I did quite like the original. And then, of course, I liked the Raising Kratos one as well. Big win. Big thumbs up. We did see the trailer as part of Last of Us Part 2 Remastered. Be keen to get into some more. Max, we don't normally touch upon rumors except for all the times that we do. Like right now. So Black Flag.
It's a slow week, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, very slow week. So apparently there's now evidence suggesting that the rumored Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag remake has started active development. Word of the supposed project spread last year when the title was said to be in its very early stages at Ubisoft Singapore, the studio behind Skull and Bones, which is coming out really soon. So after that game took 11 years, maybe they're ready to do something else. However, relatively fresh updates on a lead artist's LinkedIn profile, as spotted by at YourRaptor, that's J-O-R-R-A-P-T-O-R, on the socials, I presume Twitter, similarly confirmed that a chunk of the team had been moved over to a, quote, unannounced project from September 2023 onwards. Now, as not being like a predominantly big or really give a shit Assassin's Creed fan, I never checked out Black Flag, so I personally...
Black Flag had like the greatest naval combat, yeah. And then all of a sudden, every single game after that had naval combat, and it was shit in comparison.
What's the... Because I was going to say, because the things I hear about Black Flag is that it's brilliant. And it was PS4 launch game.
Black Flag was pretty cool. I mean, it's very old now. I don't remember it much. I think I played it when it first came out and haven't revisited it since. But from memory, it kind of had a cool story. It still had all that ridiculous Assassin's Creed future nonsense.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as egregious as it has been in the past.
Yeah.
In the future.
Would you be keen to play a remake of
it? Oh, yeah, I would totally check it out again. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Black Flag was great.
What do you think they'd remake? Apart from, like, you know, very similar to what we talk about game, you know, PS4 games that are remastered to PS5. Like, why?
I mean, I would imagine that they would update it to be more in line with the newer style of Assassin's Creed games, where it'd be slightly more RPG than what it was.
Okay.
Obviously, they've changed the parkour system drastically since Black Flag.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the updated graphics would be nice, more frames, all that goodness. I think it's old enough that it could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And considering the fact that they've already done the Ezio collection, I'm pretty sure they remastered Assassin's Creed 3...
Like, they did. That's true. But that was PS3 to 4.
Yeah.
But then once, as we know, like, there's so many games that are currently trapped on the PS3 where Black Flag isn't. It's not because obviously the PS4's cross with the 5. It's a tough one. Tough one.
I don't know. Talk to Naughty Dog. They remaster their games after a year.
That's true. They do.
On the beach, Ryan. The reliable tipster Bill Bilcun, now working as an investigative reporter for the French outlet Deal Labs, reports that a re-reveal of Death Stranding 2 will take place within the next 15 days. During an as-yet-unannounced State of Play broadcast, no less. If that doesn't sound confident enough, they suggest that Kojima Productions' anticipated sequel will feature the subtitle On the Beach, getting very specific indeed. Death Stranding 2 was revealed at the end of 2022, but things have been mostly quiet. A recent influx of PlayStation bigwigs visiting Kojima's picturesque lair adds further credence to the re-reveal report, and the first Death Stranding was released in 2019. It feels like time to learn more about the game. Since then, Norman Reedus has also posted a bunch of stuff on Instagram with the quote, "See you at the beach."
Yeah.
We'll see you on the beach, not see you at the beach.
Okay.
On the beach.
Interesting.
So either he's swerving into it and pushing that, pushing the hype, or. Yeah.
Yeah, the 15 days is interesting.
Because he blatantly leaked it a little bit by going like, oh yeah, I'm working on the next
game. It's true, he did leak it like years ago at this point.
Yeah, it was before the director's cut came out, and they're like, are you talking about the director's cut? He's like,
No. The re-reveal is interesting, using that terminology, because like, we know it's around. So is it technically a re-reveal? Because the last thing we saw was...
Because, well, it was revealed as Death Stranding 2. Yeah. That was it. So they're re-revealing it as Death Stranding 2 on the beach. Is it going away?
Death Stranding 2? Is it called something else?
So who knows? It's clearly not Death Stranding 2 Baby Boogaloo. Like,
oh, that'd be what the fucking name that would be.
So yeah.
Look, I'm so excited for Death Stranding. Give it to me now. Give it to me later. I don't give a shit. I want it. And if it means I have the possibility to buy another baby, that's good, because I didn't get to get a baby. Because I didn't. It was one of those. I've talked about this before where I was like, I won't buy the Collector's Edition for Death Stranding because what if it's batshit stupid and I hate it? And then it turns out it was batshit stupid, Max. But I loved
it. But you didn't hate
it. But I loved it. So I was like, damn, I need a baby in a container. But it's a good way to make some coin if you were to resell your collector's editions of things. And sadly, there are some people at Microsoft that may be needing to do so. There's 19,000 of them, I should say. 19,000. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, 1,900. Not 19,000. That's a fuck ton of people. Yeah, 1,900 workers across its gaming divisions, an IGN report has revealed this week. Divisions affected include internal teams at Microsoft, Bethesda, and the recently acquired Activision Blizzard. In a message sent to staff, Xbox head Phil Spencer said those affected will receive, quote, severance benefits informed by local employment laws, end quote. That's romantic. That's very nice.
So essentially the bare minimum?
Yep. As well as additional support. Spencer explained the job cuts are a result of, quote, aligning on a strategy and an execution plan with a sustainable cost structure that will support the whole of our growing business. Priorities, end quote. Priorities have been set and areas between the two companies that overlap have been identified to ensure the two firms can jointly grow. He continues, quote, as part of the process, we have made the painful decision to reduce the size of our gaming workforce by approximately 1,900 roles out of the 22,000 people on our team. The gaming leadership team and I are committed to navigating this process as thoughtfully as possible, end quote. Spencer said Microsoft is grateful for those who contributed, quote, creativity, passion, and dedication, end quote, to the games they worked on. As part of the layoffs, Blizzard president Mike Ybarra has announced he's leaving the company and the developer's survival game Odyssey has been cancelled. The latest rounds of layoff following cuts at Outriders developer People Can Fly and Destroy All Humans remake team Black Forest Games means that close to 6,000 video game developers have lost their jobs since the start of this year alone. That's more than half the number of total layoffs that occurred throughout the entirety of 2023. So, turns out a business strategy of just buying everything under the fucking sun ain't paying off for over the team at Microsoft. Because one of the big arguments were like, oh, this kind of consolidation, it's what's going to save people jobs. It's not going to fire them. Now, understandably, if you hire that development team, there's going to be crossover. Like, how many marketing people do you need? How many accountants, do you need? Like, how many of these various roles that would double up over the various locations? So I get that. I get that. But it sounds like that not a lot of these roles are the ones that are overlapping.
Yeah, it is. It's very shit to see so many people lose their jobs right at the start of the year, especially on the back end of the massive layoffs of last year. I guess it's one of those things where we're now to the point where games cost so much money to make and have such long development cycles these days. It takes a company, not that this is an excuse, but it takes the company so long to see revenue from that product that they're like, maybe we need to cut back. Like, League of Legends a few years ago went, we're called Riot Games, and we make one fucking game.
Yeah.
So we need
Riot
to do
Games
more.
Riot Games made an announcement somewhere recently too, yeah.
Yeah, so they lost, I think it was 1,200 people last week or the week before. They basically went, we're going to do a bunch of stuff. And they released a bunch of stuff to their credit. They released a bunch of stuff. There was still, I believe, a 2D fighting game in the works and a League of Legends-based MMO that they were doing. And then all of a sudden, they're like, this is not sustainable. Unfortunately, all these jobs are going to be going. They've turned around and gone, look, we realize this sucks. Everyone's going to get 6 months of severance pay. We're going to pay out your health insurance until that time. We're going to do as much as we can. We're going to give you free job network agency stuff. So, like, they are at least trying to do a little bit more than a lot of the companies who are just doing the bare minimum of severance benefits informed by the local employment laws.
Yeah.
Thank you, Microsoft. But it's such a shit position to be in.
Is a company that's just willing to spend $69 billion on some fucking acquisition. You know how many jobs they could have paid for? All the things that they're slashing these people's livelihoods for could have been paid. Because $69 billion, spoilers, is a lot more than 1,900 employees. Now, is every one of those people, you know, it's one of those things where, yes, some redundancies need to happen. You know, as a project changes and grows, you know, some roles are no longer required, as you mentioned, but with the merging. However, these are 19 people that will now have challenges feeding themselves or their family, or, you know, some of them may have moved to where that location is. Suddenly they're not able to pay rent. What the fuck does that mean? And, like, I understand business is business, but business is not the exchange of people. You need to care and treat your staff well. And I understand we talked about this in the past as well, like in this post-pandemic time where we saw this big influx and rise in the gaming space. And they're like, oh, let's just hire everyone to keep making stuff. And it's coming back and biting them in the asshole. But it's not fun. Like I said, I've been made redundant myself. You yourself have had your hours slashed recently. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not fun. It's not fun.
No.
In the chat, MGB points out, I hate how layoffs are basic monthly at this point. It's too much at times. But I wonder if Xbox will consider getting rid of the King and Blizzard brands and just move their games and stuff to Activision. No. The amount of fuss that they put in order to have this come together, if they do anything to go against it, it is not looking good. At this moment in time, Microsoft are already competing with a constantly swinging negative public opinion, and a lot of that did take place because of that Activision stuff. So for them to do all this, lay off people, and then go, oh, you know the thing we fought for that made these people lose their jobs? Yeah, we don't want it anymore, eh? It's not a good look. Not a good look at all.
Quick bits.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy VII Remake's latest trailer is a story recap for those of you who missed it.
Getting closer and closer, Max. Getting moist.
29th of Feb, baby.
Ooh, 1 month.
Ubisoft is committing to a full year of Skull and Bones content that they've been that they've been working on for the previous 11.
You'd hope so, because they need the money, because that game be expensive, because it's taking so goddamn long.
Until Dawn reportedly set to receive a new PlayStation 5 and PC version.
Exciting.
On the back end of the announcement of it's getting a movie.
Very nice. This one's one for me.
WWE 2K24 celebrates 40 years of WrestleMania coming March 8th.
Whoa!
Hey, stuck that in there.
That's coming March 8th. So yes, over the week they did announce WWE 2K24. There's three versions available. There is the basic one, which comes with Cody Rhodes on it. There's the deluxe edition, which comes with Bianca Belair and Australia's own Rhea Ripley. And then the digital deluxe big honk and fuck off one is covered with a number of superstars as it celebrates, as we mentioned, 40 years of WrestleMania. The things that have me most excited are the changes to the GM mode with the new things they're bringing into this one, like the coffin matches. There's different ways you manage your superstars' bookings, etc., within GM mode. The campaign sounds fun. It is disappointing, though, that out of the 40 years of Mania, I think only like 16 matches are playable. A lot of it makes sense, as many of them are individuals that are no longer within the company. So using examples like Kofi Kingston versus Bryan Danielson for the WWE title can't be done, because Daniel Bryan, formerly Daniel Bryan, now Bryan Danielson, is over at AEW. We cannot do Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks, and Sasha Banks, now Mercedes Moné, is currently in between locations. There's a couple that we can't do, and it's a bummer, and it's a bit sad. But if they can pick... Oh, the other one, speaking of Daniel Bryan as well, there's the WrestleMania 30, where he won both the World and... So WWE and the World Heavyweight title in the one night. That would be awesome. Can't do that. It's a bit disappointing. It's the nature of business, I suppose. But I'm still keen as all shit. And I hopefully it's playable in some capacity over at WWE Elimination Chamber, which is 1 month away in Perth, Western Australia. I'll be there. You won't be there, Max, because you don't care.
What is that?
The show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is the 24th. Saturday the 24th.
Ah, oh, damn. Okay. I was going to say, because obviously we're taking that weekend off, because you're not going to be here.
It's a show.
It's a shame that it wasn't the following weekend, because then I just got a weekend off to play Final Fantasy. And lastly, speaking of one last little bit of Final Fantasy stuff, there is currently an outcry to have Tifa Lockhart from Final Fantasy VII join the roster of Tekken 8 as a guest character. And
The chance of Square Enix and Bandai Namco crossing over is possible, yeah, maybe.
And the director was like, just calm down, you horn dogs. We all know that. We all know that she's good looking, but we don't. We haven't discussed all our guest characters yet. Just so
Tekken doesn't normally do big crossover characters, do they? Not like Mortal Kombat or whomever. From memory.
I mean, the only one that comes to mind is, I mean, technically, well, no, that's not true, because Noctis was in Tekken 6.
Ah, okay.
And he was from Final Fantasy 15.
Okay,
Tekken 7, MGB just said Tekken 7, not Tekken 6, so my bad.
Ah, there you go.
I think Negan from Walking Dead was in one.
Ooh. No, he was in Mortal Kombat, wasn't he?
No, he was in Tekken 7.
Wow, okay. Oh, he was. It was DLC.
Akuma from Street Fighter has been in Tekken.
Because they were doing that Capcom X Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tekken X Street Fighter, which they didn't
know. It's not out of the question for Tekken and Final Fantasy to have like this awesome crossover.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, Yoshimitsu has been in every Soul Calibur game.
He has.
Not so, only every Tekken game, but also every single Soul Calibur game.
Well, that's also a Namco series, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
Ooh, do you want some taste in your...
Yes.
Is she your fave lady?
Nah.
Who's your five Tekken 7 lady then?
Tekken 7 lady, what?
Not Tekken 7. I didn't play Tekken 7. Final Fantasy 7, my apologies.
Oh, Aerith for life.
Okay, for life.
I mean, literally tattooed on my arm.
Yeah, I know, just double checking. Yeah.
Okay, upcoming games this week.
Oh, yeah!
We have Grand Blue Fantasy Relink coming to PS5.
Is that the fighty one?
Yeah, I think so. Comes to PS4, PS5 February 1st.
Woo!
Persona 3 Reloaded, PS4, PS5, February 2nd, and Suicide Squad, yeah. Kill the Justice League, PS5, February 2nd.
Yeah. Obviously, Suicide Squad's one we're keen for. Helldivers on the 8th.
Helldivers on the 8th.
And then Foamstars on the 12th.
Foamstars is the 6th, isn't it? Doesn't it come out with PlayStation Plus?
Yeah, it does. It comes up. I thought it was the other way around. That makes more sense.
Foamstars is the 6th, comes out with PlayStation Plus.
Oh, brutal times ahead if you are Helldivers. We're going to play it anyway, though, because Helldivers looks cool.
Anyways, but that's it.
That's a show. Quick show this week, under an hour. That's nice. That's lovely.
Tweet.
Yeah. Seeing as I'm fucking exhausted, it's probably a good idea. It saves me yawning 17 times this episode.
Don't start, man. He says to the guy that's been doing it the whole episode.
Yeah. All right, Max, you know what to do.
All right, everybody. This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures. We can watch us record this show live. We can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopcultures, as well as our merchandise store, but popcultures.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.
If you've got Tekken, at me. We'll
yeah, let us know. Let's do this fucking pod tourney, eh? Let's make it happen.